From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. 50 years ago, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, black citizens banded together to fight the segregated seating system on city buses. They quit riding for 8 days, staging what historians believe was the first bus boycott of the budding civil rights movement. But most of us never learned about the Baton Rouge episode in our history classes. A commemoration in the Louisiana Capitol this week hopes to change that. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
The Highland Road bus stops right in front of the Baton Rouge Post. Publisher Willis Reed gingerly climbs aboard, and because he's 88, pays the reduced fare for seniors.
Would you put a token and a quarter?
No. That was no problem.
35 cents?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you need another quarter for a transfer.
Okay, thank you.
Reed takes a seat in the front. The World War II veteran says doing that 50 years ago would have meant trouble.
Oh, they put me in jail. That's right. And it's wrong. Definitely wrong.
So in 1953, Reed started a group to challenge the segregated buses in Baton Rouge. Back in his office, Reed recalls meeting at first in homes, then moving to a local school as interest grew. 80% of bus riders were black back then, and Reed says organizers knew they could send an economic message.
If we stayed off the bus, with all that money tied up there in that bus situation there, I had enough sense to know that, and they want money.
Historians believe it was one of the first times blacks in the South organized to challenge segregation. Yet most people here, even the African-American bus drivers, don't know about the Baton Rouge bus boycott. 30-year-old Mark Sternberg, who is white, certainly didn't learn about it when he was growing up here. It wasn't until he went off to college that he found out by accident what happened in his hometown. Sternberg says he was reading a book about the Montgomery bus boycott by Martin Luther King, Jr.
And there, on page whatever, was a mention of the Baton Rouge bus boycott and how he came to Baton Rouge right at the beginning of the Montgomery episode to study what Baton Rouge had done. So I was shocked.
Now, Sternberg has organized 2 days of events highlighting the city's role in the civil rights movement.
Before Dr. King had a dream, before Rosa kept her seat, and before Montgomery took a stand, Baton Rouge played its part.
While Willis Reed was meeting in houses and schools with people disgruntled with the bus system, the Reverend T.J. Jemison was complaining to the city council. Jemison, now 84, says he got involved after watching buses pass by his church and seeing black people standing in the aisles.
These people were coming from their jobs. They're mostly women, and they were standing up over vacant seats. And I thought that was just out of order, and that was just cruel.
Jemison convinced the city council to do away with the reserved seats for whites and pass a new ordinance which allowed blacks to fill up the bus from back to front and whites from front to back on a first-come, first-served basis. But the white bus drivers fought the new ordinance and went on a 4-day strike. That prompted black leaders to act. They went on local radio the night of June 19th and asked people to stay off the buses the next day. Jemison says a carpool helped get people to their jobs.
We had what we called Operation Free Car Lift, and we had about 120 cars and drivers, and they would drive the regular bus routes.
They raised money to pay for gas at mass meetings in the evenings. After 8 days, the city council agreed to a compromise that opened all seats except for the front two, which would be for whites, and the back two for black riders. That wasn't good enough for some protesters, but Jemison called off the boycott anyway, arguing they had achieved what they set out to do.
When we started, we didn't start to end segregation on buses. We just started to get seats.
That could be why the Baton Rouge bus boycott is not so well known, according to University of New Orleans history professor Douglas Brinkley.
The fact that the final negotiation was a compromise still meant that the Jim Crow system was alive. For that reason, the bus boycott hasn't been given quite as much attention as it deserves.
Its significance, Brinkley says, was as a laboratory for the more famous Montgomery boycott.
they were essentially students of the Baton Rouge bus boycott. They knew what worked there and what didn't work. They saw how the mass meetings worked, how radio worked, how you could pool money together to get carpools to stay off the buses for a few days. So the blueprint of the Montgomery bus boycott occurred in Baton Rouge in June of 1953.
To make sure the city's role in the civil rights movement isn't forgotten here, the 50th anniversary celebration includes a program for local high school students to compile an oral history on the Baton Rouge bus boycott. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Photos of the original bus boycott 50 years ago are on our website, npr.org.